and Ziploc that. Right on my waistline is why I kept that strap. I remember nights, I didn't remember nights. I damn near went crazy, I had to get it right. Now I'm your favorite rapper's favorite rapper. Hey, now I'm your favorite trapper's favorite trapper. The absolute truth, yeah, no joke. Who me? I emerged from the crack.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is episode 5 of The Trap Draw. I am Big Randy, joined as always by Tron Carter. Tron, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. Just vibing on Christmas evening here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the our Lord's birthday. Happy birthday, Jesus. We have a special guest tonight. We're joined by the merch czar, Neil Schuster. Neely, how are you?
Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. I'm doing well. Happy to be here. Appreciate the invite. Merry Christmas.
Mikasa Sukasa, Neil. You're welcome around here anytime.
Absolutely. You know, we've had a big month of December on the merch front. You know, if you haven't gotten a pullover yet, store.nolayingup.com. Check us out. We're a small shop. So had to get that plug in there. Yeah, we're ready to vibe out with Big Randy and Tron Carter, though.
Well, good, man. I think we're gonna put you on the spot first. The reason we have you on is you recently spent some time in Las Vegas with the Armor Boys.
Sin Tommy City.
Tommy Armor the Third and Tommy Armor the Fourth. I think we need to know about that.
Yeah, so TA4, good friend of mine, and just you know, salt of the earth, just a good soul. So we decided to make a trip over to see his pops, who is Tommy Armour III, Mr. 254, which is, in fact, his vanity plate on his Mercedes AMG.
On his sled?
Basically looks like a spaceship. It's the SUV. It's like the GML63. I don't know. The thing moves, though. It sounds like it's going to blow up when he slows down, because it has to, like, basically check itself. But it's parked at his condo complex, the Metropolis, which is across the street from the Wynn and the Wynn golf course. And he calls his condo, or maybe T4 and I do, but it is the Chateau Relaxo. And you walk in and it's floor to ceiling windows, and there's, you know, dehumidifiers, or, you know, air purifiers, incense, dragon heads, skulls, artwork of Tupac and naked women, and mirrors. And lighting. So he has the Philips Hue lights. They're all over the walls. The place is constantly dark with, like, colorful lighting. And there's always ambient jams going on. Like,
he loves DJ. Was Tupac murdered right out front?
No, that was probably farther down the strip. So he lives, like, right by the Wynn. And I think that happened down towards the Mirage. Or probably the MGM, because it was out. It's after a fight.
Randy nor I have ever been to Vegas, so.
We have never been to Vegas. I know
Bob
nothing
May,
about it.
Bob May, we're coming out to visit at some point, though.
Yes.
I think the quote of the weekend, to sum it up, was T3 walked out of his closet out into the foyer, and his closet's all black and all white, right? And he walks out in a three-piece with a black vest on – and his black shirt buttoned all the way to the top, and his black coat, and then a black trench coat on top of that with his glasses on. And he said, "Is there anything fucking better than getting dressed up and going out on the town?" And I looked at Tommy T4 and I said, I can't think of anything. You know, I'm just happy to be here. And so then we proceeded to go out with the three of us, Montana, who was our – a young lady that was joining us that evening. She was just a charming young lady. And we went to the restaurant at the Wynn, and then we went to XS, which is the nightclub in the Wynn where T3 knows the owner. So we had the table down by the DJ booth. Alessa was playing. He's playing Club Pumpers, it just, I mean, it was wild. Bangers. I mean, bangers, man. Bangers. The place was lit. It was lit. And, you know, it
sounds like a real wholesome place.
Guys, if, you know, I'm not a big clubber. And if you're going to go there, you really do have to, you know, got to get the table and, you know, the bottle service. And T3, that was not his first rodeo. We were drinking Casamigos all night, only tequila, only Casamigos, you know, Clooney. And Mike Melvin.
Was he drinking on the rocks or what?
Yeah, we threw a little soda in there with limes. And they got like two or three bodyguards hanging out by the, you know, the table. I mean, it was like total, like I'd never really experienced this type of situation before. But T3 was right at home. He was basically an island of tranquility in a club full of retards. I mean, it was ridiculous. Like all these people just pumping their fist, you know, rolling on Molly, blah. And then they like douse the crowd in like literally cold air because all these people are like freaking out in the pit, which is like right in front of us, but very, very much not, it's like segmented by a rope. And T3 is just like sitting there like watching these plebeians. And at one point, so we had some girls in the booth and
is he standing or sitting?
He was standing, sitting, you know, he's kind of vibing and we were talking and some guy comes up and starts talking to one of the girls that's sitting at our table. And he was getting a little too cozy. He was getting a little too comfy. So T3 looks at one of the bodyguards and just gives him kind of a little, you know, scatter the roaches.
The affirmative nod.
Yeah, basically, this guy had this guy out of there. I mean, it was a complete ejection. It was literally at home plate. Call him out. You out of here. Pull the string, baby. Boom. And this guy was out. And I looked at T3 and I was like, wow, that's tremendous. And he's like, he just got this wry smile across his face. He said, you think this is the first time I've been out? Not in a long shit. He just started whispering. I mean, the guy's an animal. He's an animal. So we had a great night. He ended up staying out with us a lot longer than I thought he would. He's a young soul. Let's put it that way.
He's a young 56 or whatever.
He is.
So the crew, is it the three of you in Montana, or is there more to the crew?
So, yeah, we went to dinner. It's the three of us. So it's T4, T3, myself, and then Darren. And Darren is kind of, you know, he's part of the posse. Darren's the man. He lives in L.A. He's a lawyer, hangs out with T3, makes it in, you know, a few weekends out of the month, I think. Couple. I don't know. You know, he's just good guy to have around. And then a couple guy, one guy that worked for Discovery Land Co. And they're working on that Summit property, which Discover sponsors T3. And
are
they have
the Baker's Bay guys?
Exactly. Yeah. So Mike Meldman and the boys. And they do the properties like Yellowstone Club, Baker's Bay, and they're building a really nice property, Summit, in Vegas. And so he came out to dinner with us. He was at the club. And then that was pretty much the crew. And then, you know, a couple of my buddies from UNC joined us okay. on the way in. So we had a nice group, good guys, a lot of good vibes.
So Friday you hit the club. What do you do Saturday? What is TA3 like to do on a nice normal Saturday?
No, so we hit the club Saturday night. We kind of actually – Friday night, I saw him briefly when I dropped my bags off at the Chateau Relaxo, but he went off to the Mirage, to the mansions, and I went to meet my buddies. Next day, I didn't get much sleep. T and I wake up, and we see literally standing above me is T3 in his monogrammed robe, just like, you guys want to go get smoothies? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to go get a smoothie. So we basically just rolled around Vegas in his spaceship. Listening to ambient club jams, running it is basically how I would explain.
Okay, so what else are we missing? What else is he about? What other intel?
So we went to Best Buy. We got the radar detector. We're good. We got the drone. So we leave there, and then we go straight to the spa. And the spa we went to was kind of a local joint off the strip. And we went and we laid in the hot rocks. So the hot rocks, we basically just went and took a nap in some hot stones. And is this
what people do in Vegas?
Pretty much everything
like...
we do. So pretty much everything we do with the Armor Boys, there's ambient club jams or some type of jams playing. With T4, it's not always ambient club jams, but there's always music. With T3, he's got Sonos in every room, and there's you know, in the car, it doesn't matter. So we're in the Hot Rocks room and he's playing ambient club jams. And there's like other people in there. He doesn't care. He's playing ambient club jams. But then we went and sat in the cold room for a little while. Then we did some stretching in like the warm room. And then we got out of there. So we were there for about probably an hour. And then right after that, we went back to the chateau. And then we left the chateau and we went to get foot and back massages at this place around the corner. And we literally walked in and walked out, like no money exchanged hands. I think he has the massage place on like retainer. Because we walked in, they're like,
why did you go to another spa first? Like, why didn't you just – you went to two spas?
Well, the spa was for like the Hot Rocks and kind of just, you know.
The super apathetic stone massage.
I guess thinking back on it, it was – the spa was – we were just going to go to the spa. But then once we did the spa, we were all like, man, you know what would be great is if we got massages. And so he was like, yeah, let's go get massages. So then we went to the local – like the place around the corner to get massages.
Like his place.
Yeah, his spot. Like, and they took great care of us. Obviously, we threw on Miguel Miggs, you know, got the grooves pumping, turned the lights out for us. And actually, one of the caddies from Shadow Creek joined us. His guy, out at Shadow Creek.
I bet that guy knows where the bodies are buried.
Yeah, he met up with us because he was dropping off some clubs at the chateau, or some shafts, I think. And then T3 was like, yeah, man, come get some food with us. Come to the massage joint. So we went there, and then we were going to get tacos, but the line was too long. We don't wait in lines, and so we went to the gyro place next door. We got some lamb. I call them gyros, heroes, whatever. I'll probably get credit. I don't know. Tomato, tomato.
Anyway, you're gonna get lit up on Twitter.
I'm gonna get ejected.
Neil, this is a safe space.
Then we ate, and then after that, then we got ready to go out for the evening. In Montana came over and the Saturday night festivities began.
Okay.
Can you tell me a little bit more about Montana?
Montana's from Tulsa. She used to be a dental hygienist. She moved to Las Vegas a couple years ago and she was a sweetheart.
We'll leave that there.
The guy, I'll tell you this, T3 knows how to live life. Like he just has he does what he wants when he wants to do it. And it's pretty cool.
What does he do to like keep in shape?
So he had several contraptions in the Chateau Relaxo. He had a massage table upstairs. So I think he pretty much gets a massage every day. And then he had a lot of like resistance bands. I think it's a lot of stretching. Like when we were at the spa, it was like, he was doing some good stretch routines.
He's pretty healthy though. Like no big injuries.
No, it seems like really like the way he eats and
because he's like been hitting it pretty hard for a long time, right?
Yeah, but it's I would say that when it's like that's he picks his spots. Do you know what I mean? Which is what I respect. It's like, okay, we're gonna go out tonight, then we're gonna go out, but like we're not just gonna leisurely drink the rest of the week either. Do you know what I mean? Like otherwise, we're drinking smart waters.
It's not sloppy, all day long. Yeah.
Like we're not having cold beers on Sunday watching the Cowboys. Like we were drinking. Like straight water, you know, all day Sunday.
You're drinking nano bubbles.
Yeah, we didn't go and have a nice brunch on Sunday, right? It was like back to business. So, which I think, you know, like that's kind of how you got to do it. You got to pick your spots.
Okay. All right. So, Champions Tour, was he upset that he didn't? I think he finished just outside the money in the Chubb or the Schwab Cup.
The Chubb Cup.
There's a Chubb Classic in Naples. It's like the third event of the year. So. That's why.
We didn't talk a ton of golf, but yeah, I think if he asked him, he'd say, "Yeah, I wish I played better."
Yeah, he was kind of vibing, and then like the last three or four tournaments of the year,
But he's been the longevity of his career. It's kind of similar. Like he makes a ton of cups. He's at the top of top 25.
So he's a gnarly ball striker, right?
Just an absolute savage with the mid irons. Like watching him at the Toshiba down in Newport Beach, he was just throwing darts in there, and he just couldn't get the putter going. Which is you follow somebody for 18 holes 2 days in a row, and you just live and die on the 10 footers. And one day, the first day, he shot 69, and they were all he probably missed 5 or 6, 10, 15 footers, and they were all for birdie. And then the second day. Saturday, it was his birthday, and he missed, you know, pretty much every putt for par. And he, you know, I think he shot like 76, 77. So, but like the iron game was consistent. It was, his tee balls were a little off on Saturday, which put him in some tough spots. But, you know, you just got to get like, you know, you can see from the Texas Open when he gets the putter going, the game's over.
Yeah.
But he just, he has a really compact swing from what I've seen. He's violent through the impact zone.
He presses the
and it's
shit
just out. Really, it's really consistent. It's just really consistent with the irons.
Randy, that was your takeaway too, right?
Yeah. Well, so I followed him for a couple of days at the Senior Open back in, August maybe. And I think first thing was he's bigger than you think, right? He's a big guy. He's pretty put together.
That's
broad
exactly
shoulder.
Right, Phil. He's like 6'3". He's a frame.
Yeah. He hits the ball. But struggle with the putter. He was doing the aim point putting the days I followed him. I don't know if Neil at the Toshiba, if he was doing that. But he just struggled. Yeah, it was, you know, just couldn't get anything going with the putter. Didn't look comfortable. Never really looked decisive because he was, you know, always trying to calculate. And it just was such a process. Played very deliberately. Pissed off his playing partners, I think, with his pace. But he's just
who is he playing with?
He was playing with Mike Small, the Illinois golf coach, and Grant Waite, the Australian. And like Friday afternoon, I caught up with them, and Mike Small was pissed coming off of, I think it was like their 15th or 16th hole. I think they were on the front nine, if my memory serves. And he muttered something to the marshal. He was hot. But, you know, T3, just he's not going to rush for anybody, you know. He just doesn't care. And so I appreciated that. but the big thing, you didn't run into his caddy out there, did you?
Yeah,
does
Brack,
he live in Vegas?
No, so Brack lives in Alabama, and okay. Brack wears all black. And he
did
wears
you talk to him
Migos
about it? Okay, the guy's got like the harshest goatee I think I've ever seen.
One of the harshest goatees in the game for sure. And he wears, they both wear aviators on the course.
Yeah.
They're all business.
Yeah.
And Brack, you know, basically like same thing you saw, Phil, he has to follow T3 around the greens because he still wears the metal spikes. And
the
like
old school spikes,
like the
exactly.
Old school spikes that would impale exactly. You. Like if somebody,
like the FootJoy Classics. With
yeah. And so he walks around and like a kind of duck waddles behind T3, like after he puts the flag in and like retraces his steps. And he's like patting down the spike marks because like he gets complaints from the playing partners, like or the groups behind him about the spike marks.
And it's like I can't see him caring, but you know,
no,
poor Brack.
That's why he continues to wear the spikes.
Right, right.
Click clack, baby.
So Neil, yeah. Who are his boys on tour?
So Olin Brown is the man, number one, and that's who his brother caddies for, Sandy. And Sandy used to caddy for T3, and then I think they split up like 2 or 3 years ago. But, you know, obviously they're pretty much at the same tour stops every week. And then who else? So Carlos Franco is the man. Doesn't speak a whole lot of English. And then Franco's son caddies for him, and he was also a legend. He was wearing like – it was like super hot in Newport Beach, and his son was wearing like the like Under Armour arm sleeves, like with a like collared shirt with the collar pop but with a vest – like a Patagonia, like a North Face vest over. It was like a really strange outfit where he was like trying not to get burned by the sun, but also like, are you overheating in the vest? Like what's the, I don't understand the vest piece. So that was pretty cool to see. I enjoyed that. And then Vandeveld is great. Who you guys know, you guys had him on the pod. Vandeveld is great. Dude, Vandeveld carries like a one strap, like a brown leather bag from like the 1940s. It's crazy. Like it
fucks, man. I mean,
it's sure. Like he just it's like he literally walked out of his house and he's playing like he's walking 18 alone. Like the guy does not care. He was wearing like linen pants. It was great. I was really
so
digging
French. I love
Vandeveld's vibe. Monty loves Monty.
How could you not love Monty?
And Sandy, his brother told me in Newport that Monty's favorite thing to do his drive around, like between tournaments, he likes to drive his 750, like BMW sedan, from tournament to tournament and visit U.S. national parks. And that is Monty's jam. Like he hates flying. So he likes to drive the United States and like go to the Grand Canyon. And like, he's like trying to go to all the national parks.
Can you imagine Monty just standing on the rim of the Grand Canyon?
Yeah. I bet he's got facts. I bet he's got all the guidebooks. You know, he knows all the stats. You guys, if you can score him for a podcast, you got to ask him about the national park.
So all the guys down in Ponte Vedra at like all the PGA Tour media guys were like, dude, Monty is the most generous dude with his time as far as the media. Like you would never think it, but like, he always fulfills all of his obligations and everything. I was completely shocked, but they were all just effusive in their praise of him.
God.
So I got a good little story. So I was leaving the Toshiba on Sunday, and Monty had played poorly. I think he shot 73, maybe 72. I think he shot one over on Sunday, and I'd followed him for like the last four holes, and he was just absolutely miffed.
He's so demonstrative, isn't he? Yeah, like, he's just disgusted.
He was upset. Like, he birdied the par 5 15th, and then he, you know, just ruined his round on 16. You know, he was just like, and he missed a short birdie on 17. So, like, he just finished up, like, you know, it was garbage. Like, just take it all away. And so I went back out to follow. I think I went to go see Daly and then, like, a couple other groups. And then I, like, an hour later, I'm leaving the parking lot. And I was in my friend's car, and he had a convertible. And so we're driving out of the parking lot, and who's walking down the sidewalk? Like, like not to the player's line. He's like walking out of the entrance of Newport Beach Country Club, and it's Monty. And he's like dressed. He's got a blazer on. He looks really nice. We're going slow enough where I like – it caught me off guard. I was like, holy shit, that's Monty. And so I was like, hey, Colin, like great round. And I was like, it was one of those times when you say
something. Why would you say great round to him, man?
Exactly. Why did I say that? That's what I immediately said in my head. And he just looked at me and was like, what? Like, basically, like, go fuck yourself. Like,
did he just, like, stop dead in his tracks?
Yeah, like, basically. We kept rolling. Like, we were moving in the car. So it was one of those times where you just, like, you're like, man, I wish I could really rewind and go back and say something that made sense. Because I had watched him play. I know he didn't play well. And I said, nice round. And why
you know
he
saw you out there, too.
Yeah. And I was like, fuck, man, that was so dumb. And sure enough, he just was, like, literally looked at me like, what? What has he said? Who is this bloke? You know, like,
have they just let him on?
Yeah. He was like totally blown away at how poor of a comment that was. And I felt like I let him down. I let him down. And we left the parking lot and I was disappointed in myself.
Was that the same day that is TA3's birthday?
Yeah. Well, no, T3's birthday was the day before. And so T4 and I and another friend of ours, Jim Miller, decided that morning that we were going to get T3 a birthday cake for his birthday. We're going to get him German chocolate, which is his favorite. So we go to Susie Cakes, and we get a nice cake, and we have him put on the cake, go low T3, and we're going to give it to him on the first tee. That's the plan. Like, we're ready to go. So we come in hot to the tourney. We got the cake with us.
This is on Saturday?
This is on Saturday, and he was in contention. He was in third. He was, like, the third group off on Saturday. So he was, like, you know, he had played well the day before. So we get to the first tee, and T4 was like, dude, I don't think we should mess with his vibe. Like, we kind of missed our opportunity when he was walking from the putting green. We just kind of panicked and didn't do it. Like, you know, we pussied out, period. So I go and put the cake in the media room. We're like, hey, man, we'll just do it at the end of the round. It's all good. He's going to, you know, it's all good. So sure enough, he goes out and shoots a 41 on the front, right? Just completely ejects. He goes bogey, bogey, double off the first three. And he's like, he's furious. And then on five, he hits a bunker shot and he puts it to like 10 feet. And I think I said like, nice shot. Like, hey, nice shot. And he just looks over and goes, fuck that. Why? Because I got it out of the fucking bunker. And there's like these Champions Tour events, there's like nobody out there, you know? And so, and he's got, you know, he's got a temper. So I was like, fuck, I shouldn't have said that, you know? And granted, like, he knows me, like, so, like, you know, I can handle that. But
it makes
I was
it
like,
even worse that he knows you.
Yeah, I know. I was like, yeah,
you got to do better than that, man.
Should have said that. But I was just trying to get him going. I was like, come on, man. Nice shot. We're good. Let's fucking sink a putt. Anyway, You know, again, poor Comet. A weekend full of them for me. So he ends up shooting 77. And we're like, the whole back nine, we're just like, God, we should have given him the cake before the round. Like, what are we doing? And so then at the end, I go and get the cake and we give it to him at the scores trailer. And he appreciated it. He laughed and stuff. And then I got a good video that we could put up on the, when you guys post the podcast, of him holding the cake and just pointing at it and just saying, I did not go low. And that's it. And that's all he says. And then, but like the irony of us making him a cake that says go low T3 and then he shoots a 77 is pretty strong.
Did he bounce back the next day or did he just?
Yeah, so he shot 67 the next day, sunk about a 40 footer on 18, completely out of contention for eagle on 18, and in front of a pretty decent crowd. Everybody loved it, and when it dropped, Phil, similar to what you told me about the senior open, he just gave the little finger like drop it. Drop it. Caddy got the ball out of the hole.
He didn't even walk up to the hole?
No, he got the caddy gets the ball out of the hole.
Dude, that's emasculating for Brack.
Well, I mean, but you got to think about it. These guys they got a lot of mileage on them. They don't need to be bending down, throwing their back out, getting the ball out.
So is he excited to go to so he plays pretty much every event, right? Champions Tour?
Yes. From what I have gathered and from what he said, it seems like he pretty much plays every event.
Is he going to go to Japan?
T3 is a tour pros tour pro. Like he's a touring professional. Like he's been traveling. He's been a 37-year tour veteran. I mean, his longevity is unbelievable. Like T4 has always said to me that Pebble's a special place for the Armors. Like it's like, back when he was on the PGA tour, like that's where Tommy, mm-hmm. like T4 would go and see his dad. You know what I mean? Like it was when the US Open was there when Tiger won, T3 had like a real strong showing that week. So they got like real good family memories out there.
Okay. You've been down there when he's played there, right?
Yes, but he was playing Poppy Hills, or as he says, Sloppy Hills. But maybe we should not say that on the podcast.
That's great. I think that's great.
Shout out to Poppy Hills. I'm going to be honest with you. I think he's going to continue to like going to Pebble since T4 and I turned him on to The Refuge.
What's The Refuge?
So T4 and I did a golf trip down to Monterey like a month ago. So anyway, after the round, we were like, all right, we got some time to kill. A buddy of ours had told us about this spa place called The Refuge. And I didn't know this about T4 at the time, but he's like, dude, I love spas. My dad loves spas. Dude, I love spas. Like, I'm the biggest massage guy ever. Like, I just love it. You know, like, pamper, like, treat yourself. I love it. So we were like, dude, let's go to the spa. So we go to The Refuge. It's like probably 15 minutes south of Monterey in like Carmel Valley, and it's out in the hills and you drive in and it's basically like a hot and cold tub oasis, and you walk in and they give you a water bottle. It's like $50 and you can stay as long as you want, and it's like this fenced in enclosure, like sanctuary. You walk in, you change in the locker room, and you go out, and like on the water bottle there's the instructions for what they call the cycle. And the cycle is basically like you start in either the steam room or the sauna, and they have like these big steam rooms and saunas. You sit in there for like 5-10 minutes, you get all juiced up, and then you get out and you get into the cold tub, and you like stay in there basically as long as you can. And then you go sit in the zero gravity chairs, or you sit by the fire pit. And then you go sit in like a warm tub, and then you jump from the warm tub into the hot tub, or you can just go straight to the hot tub and just like hang out. And then you basically rinse and repeat. You jump back in either the sauna or the steam room, and you're supposed to do it like 5 times. So of course T4 and I did it like 7 times. I mean, we were just vibing. And the other thing is it's dead silence. So you can't, not dead silence, but there's like a no talking policy. So like you're just there. There's a lot of people, not a lot of people, but there's a good amount of people, good amount of women. It's co-ed. It's great scenery. It's
what
like
happens if you
awesome.
Talk?
Well, you just – it's like kind of one of those things where like, hey, man, you know, just don't ruin this for everybody. You know, you kind of get – Like they will come over and say like, hey, you're disturbing peace. Like stop. Like that's just part of it. So anyway, we were just like all about it. And so we left all, you know, jazzed up, and then we called T3 and we're like, hey man, we knew he was coming into town for the TaylorMade tournament a couple weeks later. We told him like, you got to go to the refuge. And he's the biggest spa guy, as you can see.
You need to be a refugee.
So he's a refugee. So he went to the refuge Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. And after Tuesday, I texted T4. I said, what's your dad think of the refuge? And he sent me a text. He was like, this place is great. Going back tomorrow. I'm seeing, what did he say? I know my lines now. Or no, I know my yardages at this place. I'll be back tomorrow. That's what he said. I know my yardages. I'll be back tomorrow. So, and we were like, so did you do the cycle? He's like, hell no. I don't do cold. He hates cold. So he was like, he stuck with basically just the sauna and hot tub and just hung out.
In the zero gravity chairs.
And I'm sure he was in the zero gravity
chairs. Do they have any cryotherapy there?
No, they don't. But they have like, it's like a tennis facility and like I have a workout facility. So it's like a health club slash spa. But if anyone listening goes to Monterey, check out the refuge.
This is not a pitch. This is not a
paid plug.
No, it is. I hope they like, I would love to be sponsored by the refuge.
Yeah, really, we're not. Like, so it's not a paid
plug. We're not. But I mean, just shout out to the refuge.
Big shouts.
Big shouts.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I think while we're on the topic of corporate plugs, you want to talk about our new gear, Neil?
No, I already did that. People know. Honestly. Let's get to the Twitter.
Thanks, I'm good.
I'm good. We had a nice Christmas.
Let's see. Can any of you actually hit a trap draw? Describe the conditions, yardage, and club that you would use.
I'll say so, not on purpose.
I can. That's like my only good shot.
Normally hit a fade, but I can hit a very solid, like hooded iron punch shot if I need to. And Tron, you can attest to that.
Yeah.
On our trip to Canada. What does that mean? Like if I need to draw the ball like crazy, I guess that's a trap draw. I don't really know what trap draw is though. I can draw the ball if I have to, and I can draw it big, but I can't do it consistently, and I can't – like, that's not my normal ball flight is what I'm saying.
See,
do you trap the ball? Are you a trapper?
No, he's not. He's a sweeper. Neil's definitely a sweeper.
What? Yeah, I definitely am. That's right. I'm a sweeper. I let my hips go too early.
See,
I used to have a really strong grip, and I used to trap it a little bit more, but I'm a sweeper now.
I'm a trap star.
Whereas T4 and T3 are both trappers.
My ball striking stinks. I'll just admit that.
Phil, you got a two-way miss, which is messing with your head a little bit.
Phil, I would say, though, that I mean, if your ball striking stinks, I don't even know what that makes your putting. you stand over the ball.
It's not good. I'll tell you that. It's not good. I thought I found something, though, at the end of the year.
Todd, I got a question for you. Will you ever put your swing on film and on social media again?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
John, you got bullied. You should have
written when you got ejected for your outfit.
Right.
Absolutely dominated for your belt and pants length.
Game. That one girl just wrote a bullying piece. You should have. She beat you to that space, John.
I'm just. You know what, guys?
I mean, I'm
going to blame it on the tailors at Lululemon.
I got a nice
under
chuckle.
Him my pants.
I got a nice chuckle out of that entire thread of just people.
Honestly, I'm gonna put my swing up there next year. There's nothing better than like creatively being made fun of on Twitter. I love it.
I've put it up there a couple times, and the one time, or actually the last time, I'm so close to the ball, and so I have to trap it, or else it's impossible for me to even make contact with the ball. But it's either a trap, and I just clip it, or it's a total drop kick. So,
yeah. Well, I think we all need to get our swings out there next year. We're gonna do some video stuff next year, I think.
All right. So, Neil, I got a question for you. You are the originator of Lax Pop Can't Play. Not you specifically, but just your experience playing semi D1 athletics.
Wow. So first, let's unpack that. First off, go Lions. I think it's D1 double A.
I think fully D1.
I don't even think there's a 1AA anymore, though, is there?
No, it's 1AA. It's
I think it's FCS. I think it's FCS.
Yeah, football championship subdivision. So you can eat my ass on that.
But you guys can't even qualify.
Does the Ivy champ go to the playoff?
You
can't
qualify for the playoff.
We can't. But that's they choose
second
to do that.
Second class citizens, dog.
Because of academics. Okay?
We choose to not participate in that shit.
No, eat my ass, number one. Number two, I did not originate LPCP. My defensive coordinator, my third one in 4 years, my senior year, Chris Woods, who had one of the harshest goatees in the game, almost as harsh as Brack, T3's caddy. He was a very passive, aggressive, petty man, and he would roast you, whether it was on paper in game recaps for how you played, mainly the linebackers because that was the position that he coached specifically, or during film. And, you know, it was full – like his analysis was just full of jargon, right? So it was, you know, has a tendency to be the nail, not the hammer, rarely in the right spots, lacks a fundamental understanding of the defense, lacks pop at the point of attack, can't play. And that used to be like one of his favorite, just culminating, you fucking suck. Get the fuck out of here. Statements.
And these are write-ups? Or like this is what he's saying?
Yeah, he would write up for like the linebackers, especially in the preseason. He would like do these like paragraphs about like basically grade the film and then get like a D, you know? And then he'd just do a write-up basically of like to just elaborate on the D that they got for like all the missed blocks, missed gap assignments, you know, missed pass rush, whatever, like missed tackle. Like all these things added up to like a 67 in the scrimmage we had. And then he would write up like even the guy that was hurt, like Ryan Hazlitt, like had a bad hamstring. He'd be like, Ryan Hazlitt, like can't grade the film, but quickly becoming the forgotten man. If you can't get healthy, you can't play for my team.
Health like, is a skill, man. Health is
a
skill.
He would like put that on paper. And then like he'd say, you know, to one kid who's just, you know, grinding his balls off to make the team in like, you know, not be on scout team, like, you know, rarely in the right places, like has a tendency to get ejected in the A gap, like not nearly physical enough with Brock Destruct.
Gets trucked by freshman running backs.
Yeah, has a tendency to be the nail, not the hammer. You know, overall lacks pop at the point of attack, can't play, period. Like that was it. So anyway, like the term, like we started, like outside of the football, we started talking to each other, like in his like voice that you'd have in film, like, oh, oh, he'd like point you out in front of like 40 or 50 guys, like, oh, look here, Schuster, oh, getting posterized, oh, fucking can't break on a slant route, fucking stinks, guy stinks. And then he'd like rewind it like 5 times and show you just like, you know, missing a tackle or like hitting a guy at the wrong angle, getting truck sticked, and you're like, damn it, man, like you just look so bad. And you know it's coming. Like when stuff like that happens on the field, you're thinking it, you're like, man, that's gonna look bad on film. And then the guy would just basically put a soundtrack to your misery and be like, oh, look at Evan Miller right here getting trucked by a freshman running back. Oh, stinks. Guy thinks he's going to play. Fucking stinks. And he would just like say it in like a monotone voice and just completely like destroy your self-confidence.
Sounds like we need to get Chris Woods on the Conica Minolta of swing vision.
Well, so all the, he would be great for that. He'd be great for just like, analysis, just monotone analysis.
Kucher comes inside.
Anyway,
stinks.
Though the
swing is
the
flat. Though, can't trust it.
Lacks pop, can't play. Like it turns out, it has pop. That statement has a lot of pop because it can be applied to a lot of things. And I think the golf swing is one of those things. And so Tron has, you know, taken it upon himself to hold people accountable when they lack pop in the golf world and they can't play. So LPCP basically stems from a poor football coach at a poor, mediocre football program. really just reinforcing the fact that, you know, the effort and the talent was just not up to par.
Evan Miller can't trust him.
Can't trust
him. Do you think Chris Woods would be proud to know that one of his catchphrases is now alive and well in the world of golf?
I think he'd probably laugh his little monotone, ho, 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 fucking guy stinks, ho, golf podcast. I knew he would amount to nothing. Ho, ho, golf. Fucking what kind of sport is that? Ho, fucking football coach. I'm not a golf coach. The fuck do I care about golf? Ho, ho, who cares? Stinks. It's probably what he'd say.
That's good. That's good.
Great stuff.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'll jump in here. I think, you know, we're getting up against it. We'll save certainly some Twitter questions for next time. And if, you know, in the meantime, if you have anything, hit us up. Always available, always open and candid.
Next topic.
Neil, I want to thank you very much for your time on this Christmas night. And Todd, you as well. This was a lot of fun, guys.
Neil, I'm just going to tell you, you need to get your shit together on the merch side of things. All right.
I don't know if that's fair.
I appreciate that. I'd also like to add,
I'm messing with you guys.
Please leave a review for the Trap Draw podcast. 5 stars. And if you leave a 5 stars, go ahead and roast the 2 co-hosts, Tron Carter and Big Randy. And next time they host this podcast, they'll go ahead and read your roast out loud.
Yeah, that's a great idea. It's got to be creative, though. If it makes us laugh, we will absolutely read
leave
it.
Leave a review and... you know, it'll, if it's good stuff, you know, we love a good roast. We really do. I do. Personally, I do.
Oh, there's nothing better than making fun of yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, but leave 5 stars. Come on. And then shit all over them. That's the good stuff. Come on.
Tron Carter, lacks pronunciation. Can't podcast.
That's pretty good. We got to get our swings out there in the new year. Let people just dissect those.
Yeah. That needs to happen in the new year.
Okay. All right.
Well, Tron, Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Merry.
You too, Neil.
Merry Christmas, you morons. Trapper, the absolute truth, yeah, no joke. Who